This podcast is for everyone out there celebrating people losing their jobs at the hands of Doge. It's mostly y'all on the right. Y'all've been busy tweeting your absolute delight as bureaucrats get laid off. You're filled with glee. It brings you pleasure to see others in pain. Dare I say that watching government workers get laid off seems to be your kink. It's a fetish, and it's gross. I don't know them, and you don't know them either. So how can anyone be so sure that every single person and thousands of workers that are getting laid off deserve to lose their job? I just love how MAGA went from America first to Americans last. From complaining that the system is rigged and the deep state is oppressing us, to getting you to root for the downfall of your fellow countrymen. Just remember that a house divided cannot last. Letting the rich and powerful pit us against each other is playing right into their hand. Instead of pointing the finger at the top 1% and those in charge who have caused wealth inequality, let's blame the middle-class working man. That sounds like a solution. Talk about being inefficient at getting something done. Now, before someone in the comments calls me a communist liberal who loves an oppressive, bloated government, pump the brakes. I don't like how big the government is either. If it was left to me and my design, the government would be so tiny it would scare almost everyone watching this. My libertarian heart would shrink the government so small that even Ron Paul would tell me to calm down. But here's the thing. It's bad taste, bad form, bad juju, just bad everything to do what the right is doing right now. Y'all may whine about Trump derangement syndrome, but what do you call an entire group of people who celebrate someone's loss? A psychopath, that's what you call them. And again to commenters, don't call me a sore loser, I didn't vote for either of these clown operations. Old Tommy J, Benny Franklin, and Lil Jimmy are probably rolling over in their graves right now as they look on to what's happening in the country they built. But wait, maybe there's an idea. Could we run a dead president? I'd trust Thomas Jefferson's rotting bones to do better running the country than the oligarchy that we have now. Just a thought. And to MAGA land out there, y'all's privilege is showing. By laughing about everyone losing their jobs and glad-handing each other on Twitter, you show just how disconnected you are from everyday Americans in the heartland. Maybe in your ivory towers, you can easily go in and out of jobs with no gap. And maybe you have a fat stash of cash to get you by until you get a new job. But here in the heartland, in flyover country, losing your job is distressing. The job market is atrocious right now. Pay is in the toilet, and the cost of living is outrageous. Eggs are literally $6 a dozen right now. And I live in Ohio, the most boring place in the country. Remember when y'all freaked out that time Press Secretary Jen Psaki flippantly told Keystone Pipeline workers to just go get green jobs? It was heartless then, and it's heartless now. And the cavalier way you mock people losing their jobs is no different than Psaki's stinging comment. Maybe no one was paying attention. They were too busy drinking the Kool-Aid and drooling over Musk bopping around on stage. Maybe you couldn't fully hear what was going on through that sympathetic, I call pathetic, diaper that you pasted to your ear to look like Trump. But it wasn't hard to see that the gutting of the government was coming. Just read Project 2025. And if you bothered to pay attention to the man pumping nearly $300 million into Trump, you might have noticed it was going to be painful, stupid, and reckless. This is the same guy who ruthlessly fired a bunch of people at Twitter and laughed as he carried out the bathroom sink. Yeah, Twitter was weird and a turd to free speech, but my God, do you have to mock them after you won? You see, Project 2025 had a plan to revise Schedule F. Their goal? Make it easier to fire a large swath of government workers who currently have civil service protections. One of the architects of Project 2025 is Russell Vogt. He also happens to be the director for the Office of Management and Budget. In a video for the plan, Vogt infamously said,
"We want the bureaucrats to be traumatically affected. We want, when they wake up in the morning, we want them to not want to go to work because they are increasingly viewed as the villains. We want their funding to be shut down so that the EPA can't do all of the rules against our energy industry because they have no bandwidth financially to do so. We want to put them in trauma."
Well, slap my ass and call me an oracle, but it's almost like these goons in charge told us what they were going to do ahead of time, and many people just looked the other way. Less than a month in to the administration, is not enough time to assess what everyone in the federal government is doing. A 5-bullet-point email is subjective. Liars and better writers who are lazy can go undetected, while diligent workers who aren't wordsmiths will suffer. AI can read answers, but it can't tell you the work behind the words or what a job really entails. And how much time is being spent in compliance with this email? How much is that costing the taxpayer? When people feel like their jobs depend on one email, they'll probably spend a lot of time on it. And what work are they getting done outside of this anyway? People are freaked out, and they're not too motivated to do anything when they might wake up one day and be out of a job. If the government doesn't know what its own employees are doing, my question is, whose fault is that?
I blame the government.
Why not go to the managers first and see which ones are not paying attention to the department? The one thing I know is that when new top brass comes into a company and rules with an iron fist, the good people either leave or are fired, because only the bootlickers will stick around. Lazy people always find ways to bend the rules and play the game. We will lose institutional knowledge. We will lose people who have decades of experience doing their jobs. They might know something about the department they've worked in for years that new President Elon Musk doesn't, just being 1 month into his gig. The one good thing about DOGE is you're finding out that conservatives want to trim all of the government, except what their state is getting from it. Pork for me, not for thee. And you know what? Good luck in the midterms. Laughing at firing Americans is bad optics. I can't imagine a political consultant telling you to laugh at someone else's pain. And you know, that's not including the swaths of people that voted for Trump that now regret it as they're losing their jobs and their subsidies. But perhaps the wildest part about all this noise is that for a group of people who believe conspiracy theories, a group that believes everything is a hoax, a scam, a planned covert operation, you're buying this whole game hook, line, and sinker. What Musk is trimming, even if his numbers are accurate, which many say they aren't, is such a small and insignificant part of our budget. We are $36 trillion in debt. That's a debt load of more than $100,000 for every citizen. Our interest on the debt alone cost us nearly $1 trillion every year. Last year, the government spent nearly $7 trillion. That's nearly a quarter of the United States GDP. More than a third of that is mandatory spending, like Social Security and Medicare entitlements. If you add in the military, altogether, that's half the budget. Now, as of today, when I checked, DOGE claims they've saved America $65 billion. That's somewhere between the size of the Department of State and the Civil Corps of Engineers. That's 0.5% of the budget. We aren't even scratching the surface. Besides, are everyday bureaucrats at USAID or the National Park Service my mortal enemy? Sure, sending millions of condoms is a waste of money, and I don't like it. But if we're going to have a mass layoff or raid the offices for truth in government agencies, why aren't we starting with the FBI, the CIA, or the NSA? How about the Federal Reserve? Believe me, an FBI agent or a CIA agent is doing far more to violate your rights than any of those other bureaucrats we watched walk out the door. That's the real deep state, the home of real corruption, the swamp that needs to be drained. And here's a little fun fact about the National Park Service, where thousands were laid off. The Cheeto-in-Chief donated part of his salary to the National Park Service during his first term. Not just 1 year, but 2 years. It's funny how he gave money to what he would now consider lazy and inefficient people. It's a real head-scratcher there. You know, there's trillions missing from the Pentagon. The day before 9/11, Rumsfeld admitted that more than $2 trillion were unaccounted for.
Our financial systems are decades old. According to some estimates, we cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And that was over 20 years ago. The Pentagon made $35 trillion in accounting adjustments alone in 2020, a total that's larger than the entire U.S. economy. They failed 7 consecutive audits. The Federal Reserve has never been audited. And who knows if there's even any gold in the vault? Wouldn't this have been a better place to start for DOGE than targeting some bureaucrat with a $50,000 job? The cuts DOGE are making are so small to the overall budget and so inconsequential to what's happening at the Fed and the Pentagon that I feel like it's a limited hangout, a distraction and quick fix to satiate conservatives' desire for smaller government, when in reality it won't do much and instead increases pain for everyday Americans. All of these people getting let off are now going to be competing with you and your children and your grandchildren for jobs in a market where there's already so few available. It's pretty clear to me that the goal is to satiate the people by giving in to their lust for inflicting pain on their perceived political enemies. If those people can get a hit of dopamine from watching people they think are liberals lose their government jobs, then they won't realize we're going nowhere near the corruption they originally complained was the deep state. And the deep state does exist, but hey, let's worry about the National Park Service first, am I right? And don't you just love how efficiency and austerity always come at the price of the everyday American? I don't see Trump ordering staff reductions for Congress. I don't see his personal staff shrinking. We could start with getting rid of that human printer lady. Really? You have someone who gets paid to print documents? Talk about inefficiency. I don't see him cutting costs by eliminating the First Lady's staff in her office. I don't see him saying that shrinking the government starts at the top and not filling, I don't know, half of his cabinet. Hey, if you really want to end the education department, then don't fill that top post. Let the department liquidate itself. But no, those bureaucratic jobs are important because he needs to pay off those favors he accrued on the campaign trail. Hey, don't touch Lil Marco's salary or Linda McMahon's or Pete Hegseth's. Even though they all make more than $200,000 a year, why don't we start by slashing theirs in half? Federal employees are bad and need laid off, except for that communications position that Tucker Carlson's son got. Hey, the Trump-Vance administration even engages in second-generation favor repaying. Aren't we proud to be American? What I want to know is all this waste the Trump administration is so proudly gutting, where was that spirit when you spent trillions in COVID waste, including those PPP loans that went to the rich and famous? Trump increased the debt by nearly 40% during his first term. That's nearly $8 trillion that he added. Now, all of a sudden, Trump is obsessed with government waste. In reality, he's the number one suspect for it. Isn't this hypocritical? Why isn't Musk out there trying to get that money back from celebrities, from their PPP loans? Why isn't he digging up fraud and all that pandemic spending and going after those who stole it? That's something we could all get on board with. And just wondering, to take one for the team, is Musk going to give back the $38 billion he received in federal funds? I don't think so. No. For now, Musk is heading into the Social Security Administration. Let's see how many people he fires for being slothful government employees. But then keep this in mind. Improper payments of that agency, including all accidental overpayments and underpayments, accounted for just under 1% of the $8.6 trillion in total payments they sent out from 2015 to 2022. And that's according to an audit completed last year. Now, some may say, hey, these federal employees have fat salaries. Sure, I know about that fact that says the average federal salary in all 50 states is $80,000, but think about it. That's obviously going to be skewed by the heavy earners. Look at the top 15 highest paid positions. They're mostly jobs in medicine or law, which by its very nature makes more than less educated positions. That's going to skew the numbers a bit. And if you're one of the nearly 500,000 federal workers living in D.C., the cost of living is way higher, standing at 1.4. The cost of living in D.C. requires a salary of $92,000 to just break even. The median monthly mortgage is more than $3,000, and even a studio apartment is going to cost you nearly $1,700. And if they are making a ton of money and do nothing at their jobs, then good for them. Every job I've had from customer service to a professional position, about 75% of the staff is looking for every opportunity to slack off. Looking for ways to not work isn't just a government employee thing, it's an American thing. But perhaps the most compelling reason the right should check themselves is religious. You shouldn't wear your crucifixes, wave the Bible, pray for attention, and then not expect to adhere to the Bible's actual teachings. If traditional values is what you're going to preach and biblical morality is your go-to excuse for all your bad policies, then heed the good book's advice. Let me introduce you to Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector that was hated by everyone so much, even by Jesus' followers, that he had to climb up a tree just to catch a glimpse of Christ. He wasn't accepted in society, even among a group of Jesus's own people, those seeking his favor and grace. Even though they had no compassion for Zacchaeus, Jesus did. And sure, Zacchaeus was a government employee that collected taxes, but he was still someone that God cared about. While Jesus's followers shamed him, Jesus befriended him. Why would any lost soul want to attend church or be a Christian when the grace and mercy of God that you preach is not reflected in your own actions? If Jesus can show compassion to a tax collector, then surely Christian Americans cannot take pleasure in the pain of a bureaucrat losing their job. Surely we cannot clap as national park workers are being fired. This might be why the American church is dying, as the evangelical right props up Trump. As they toot Musk's horn and the laying off of staff, maybe they should consider this. You can judge and shame others for not coming to church on Sunday, but who would want to come when you laugh and take glee in others losing their jobs? How receptive do you think someone who was axed so ruthlessly will feel towards an invitation to church from an entire political party who is laughing about it on the internet? Don't cheer for the pain and suffering of your fellow man and then chastise them for not coming to church to learn of God's grace and mercy. You aren't showing it, so why should they believe it's real? Now that you know where we've been, find out where we're going. Tune in to Ladies Love Politics, where you can stay informed without going insane.